Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today my guest is poet, performer, and educator, Rhonda Welsh, to talk about her new book, Musings of an Adult Onset Swan. Rhonda's soulful delivery and thought-provoking topics are always sure to inspire and entertain audiences. A regular on the arts and culture scene, she is equally comfortable in front of small and large audiences. Deeply influenced by Langston Hughes, Phoebe Snow, and Gil Scott-Heron, she approaches poetry the way musicians approach music, with the intent to be heard. The only poet asked to perform during the Detroit Institute of Arts reopening ceremonies, her two-week retrospective of African and African-American poetry was a must-see during the donor and the community opening festivities. She has been featured at numerous other Metro Detroit venues, including the Virgil H. Carr Center for Cultural Arts, the Detroit Opera House, the Scarab Club, the Charles H. Wright Museum of African-American History, Campus Martius, Wayne State University, the Ford Performing and Community Arts Center, College for Creative Studies, Southfield Public Library, and Mary Grove College. And like many poets, she has performed in countless coffeehouses and gallery spaces throughout the Detroit area, nationwide in venues from New York City to L.A., and internationally as an author at the Windsor Book Fair and the Quebec Writers Federation Retreat. A native Detroiter with a BA in English and an MA in Public Relations and Organizational Communications, she self-produced her debut CD, I Saw Myself. During summer 2010, she launched her company, Crimson Karyos. The first project was the release of her debut poetry collection, Red Clay Legacy. And her new book is Musings of an Adult Onset Swan. And I want to welcome Ms. Rhonda Welsh to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I can't complain on this gorgeous day in Detroit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Ms. Rhonda, this is your third time being on the show, and the last time was 2012 to talk about, I believe it was Red Clay Legacy. And so we've got to catch up because now we have, as I mentioned, Musings of an Adult Onset Swan, which I love, but
okay. It's
a different kind of book. Yeah, yeah, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Didn't want to stop reading it. Didn't want to, but it's a different kind of a book. It's not all poetry, which surprised me because, you know, I and, you know, others may know you as primarily a poet. So tell us about the evolution that took you from the poetry of Red Clay Legacy to what we have in Musings of an Adult Onset Swan.
Well, shortly after I finished Red Clay Legacy, I started a book, and I started a book of love poetry. The name of the book was Unrequited, and I had this sort of little, I had brackets over the un, and so, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go get the symbolism of requited and unrequited, and so I started writing these poems, and meanwhile, I got divorced, and then I'm like, okay, and I'm writing these poems, and all kind of stuff happened, and I'm going to tell you what, it was just a difficult book for me to finish, and so I realized that, well, maybe I don't want to work on something called Unrequited, so the name of the book changed, and it became Adventures in Paradise. I'm like, okay, I can work on something called Adventures in Paradise, and then that was an ebb and flow, and so I've been working on this book for years and years and years, so I got tired, and I said, you know what, if you don't put out something else, Rhonda Welsh, I refuse to call you an artist anymore. This was the talk I had with myself. And so meanwhile, I'm posting on Facebook and I'm blogging and I'm writing notes. And I thought, you know what? That's a book. And so what I did is I took some blog posts and I took some Facebook posts and I took notes I'd written to myself and essays I'd written and I just put them all together and I called them a book and it became Musings of an Adult Onset Swan. And I I put it together in about 3 days. In about 3 days, I put it out. It was my Valentine's Day present to myself. And I was like, okay, you know what? You're writing a book. So it was like maybe, I don't know, five to seven days to put it together because I did run it by an editor because, you know, you can't just trust your own eye. And my first book, I really did it the right way with the, and I'm putting right in air quotes, with my Library of Congress number and my ISBN number. And I'm like, can you step away from perfectionism, put this together, and get it out? Just get it out. If you don't like it, if you find some mistakes, correct the mistakes and reload the file. But just get it out. And so that was my challenge to myself, and I did it. And that is how Musings of an Adult Onset Swan came to be. Meanwhile, Adventures in Paradise just made the final manuscript just made it to the editor last week. So. That book there.
Wow. Okay. I got so much I want to unpack.
No, I did not.
But that's good stuff, Rhonda. That is good stuff. So look, how did it feel stepping away from perfectionism? What was that like? Because that's hard, especially, you know, in what we do. That is hard. Mm-hmm. What was that experience like when you said 3 days, bam, bam, you got it out?
It was terrifying because, but I had to suspend, what I perceived others' judgment to be, but then really was stepping away from the judgment we place on ourselves and the voice of, you know, because already I feel like I'm a fraud as a writer. It's like, I don't know why people are asking me to do stuff. They don't really know, you know, and so I had to shut down all of those voices. Because I'm like, okay, if you don't put something out soon, I just won't respect you anymore. You're gonna put something. You're gonna do something. So there was the stepping away, the perfectionism, but it was hard to step away from that. But it felt so good to just get the product out. Just get it out.
Right. Wow. I can imagine. That is so good. So it's an online, it's an ebook? Is it just released
as
an ebook?
It's an ebook. I may release it. I may, you know, go the traditional publishing route with it, but for now it's an ebook.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, so I want to get back to the format. When I read it, I'm going to tell you, as I was reading it, the tone it took on in my head was from the movie Under the Tuscan Sun, and it was the narration was kind of like a combination of your voice and Diane Lang's voice, the lead character in the movie. So, like, there's journal entries. It's like that. Like you said, you took your blog posts and your Facebook posts, but there's essays and there is poetry in it. So that kind of eased my soul a little bit, because she still got that poetry in there. And there's even a piece that's Chapter 5, Harriet Tubman and Dating, that's written like a one-woman stage piece. So let's talk about the combination of all these different formats that you've put together in one beautiful book.
Well, like I said, I was sitting there thinking, okay, I don't feel like an artist anymore. But then I started thinking of the things that I've been writing. And so Harriet and Tubman and Dating actually started as a Facebook post one Sunday morning. And a lot of it was written afterward. But that whole in the post, I was just like, imagine me walking around my space in full afro glasses, straight socks, an open full-length silk kimono, a white nylon full-slipping, white Playtex 18-hour bra while drinking black coffee, smoking cigarettes, and listening to jazz. So that was my Facebook post. And so I took that and expanded upon it. And added, you know, that became the scene, and I added an introduction. And Harriet Tubman just happens to be one of my personal heroes. And there's actually a book I've been working on her for quite some time. And so all of these thoughts were just thoughts I was having, because it just blew me away that John Tubman wouldn't let her have her freedom. And so she left him. He thought he wouldn't let her have her freedom. Excuse me. It was his intention. Not to, that was his intention, not to let her have her freedom. And Harriet Tubman's like, well, look, I'm going to divorce you, but I'm out. And I'm going to keep your name, too, because that's how they know me. You know? So that's what But then later in her life, she got married to this dude who was like 11 years her junior. And he walked a considerable number of miles to get to her. And I was just so intrigued by that. And I was thinking about, you know, being single and just turning 50 and dating prospects. I'm like, well, shoot. If Harriet Tubman got married, surely I can get married too.
So good.
It's a book of utter strangeness. I know it's a book of utter strangeness. I get it.
But it is such good positive strangeness. I'm gonna tell you that it's just not like, you know, cross-eyed strange. It's just like eye-opening strange. Like, this is good. This is all different. It's just nothing is the same in it, but it's good. It's just good. So with that said, and with us introducing Harriet Tubman and dating, if you don't mind, would you read Chapter 5, Harriet Tubman and Dating, a monologue, for no particular reason?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
Wait. World premiere.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. All right, introduction. Harriet Tubman is my personal hero. When they announced she would grace Currency, people online called her ugly. You have no idea how personally I took it, how very much it hurt me. Scene. Imagine me walking around my space in full afro, glasses, striped socks, an open full-length silk kimono, a white nylon full-slip and white Playtex 18-hour bra, while drinking black coffee, smoking cigarettes, and listening to jazz. The only flaws in this plan are that I do not own a full-length kimono or smoke cigarettes. So, in your imagination, imagine my kimono and imagine me with fake cigarettes, because real cigarettes cause cancer. Monologue. Mm-hmm. Men. I like them. I really, really do. But I'm considering taking a hiatus because men have forgotten to date. I blame the interwebs and the Kardashians. Takes a faux puff and laughs. Kim and them ain't really do nothing. I'm just being hateful. Two more faux puffs and a swig of coffee. I don't date. I undate. Because dudes make so many excuses not to sync words and actions. Long faux drag. But still, yesterday I heard a beautiful example of love from this guy in a writing class. Black love at that. This guy's essay was about his nervousness. He is asking her to marry him. Dude has been carrying around the ring, faux puff, and I have been seeing engagement rings all up in my timeline for weeks. There is hope. And you know, Harriet Tubman was 47 before she married Nelson Davis. Harriet was 47, and I'm 49, but I think I look at most 45, so that splits the difference a little. And Harriet left that buster John Tubman because he would not support her bid for freedom. I bet John Tubman just wanted to text and Skype all the time, and she and Nelson adopted a baby. Swig of coffee. He walked like 100 miles or something crazy to be with her. Quick faux puff. Hey, if Harry could keep an open heart with slavery and everything, I can too. Gulps last bit of coffee and puts out fake cigarette. Hold up. Lights new fake cigarette. Lights incense. Pours another cup. Did I mention Nelson Davis was 11 years younger than Harriet Tubman? Cackles. Mama Harriet knew how to power walk. She was an active woman, needed somebody who could keep up. Long drag. Believe me, I be naming and claiming and visualizing like a mofo. Quick faux puff. My life is quite enchanted and blessed. I believe God has purpose and plans for us. I have so many beautiful things and people in my sphere. Too short. Faux puff. But could Harriet Tubman have attracted her way out of slavery? Dang, that seems like a simplistic way to look at things. I know, holds mug of coffee in hand. Or in actuality, did she? puts out faux cigarette and faux ashtray, was that vision of freedom in her belly so big that she attracted a brighter future when everything seemed impossible? Again, I am simply asking questions. I really do not know. Somehow, it just makes me feel like the future is bright for me, and I just need to see it in my belly.
I'm just going to be silent for a minute. That's just so wonderful. It's so interesting.
I have never read that out loud before.
Really? How did it feel?
No.
How did it feel?
It felt kind of good. We might have a one woman show coming next.
Rhonda, I'm telling you.
God's ears.
I am telling you, yes. I'm just saying yes to the one woman show. That can be developed out so much more. And because I could, as I was reading it and listening to you, I could see it all in my head. I just saw it all in my head. You on a stage somewhere, a stool, something, whatever. Yep. Okay, let's go. Okay. So moving on. This is Michigan Literary Network Radio, and you just heard my guest, Rhonda Welsh, poet, performer, and educator, reading from her new book, Musings of an Adult Onset Swan. So, moving on from that, in the introduction of the book, Rhonda, you mentioned your surprise that people actually pay attention to your musings while when you post them on Facebook. I mean, you know, you get responses. Why is that so surprising?
Well, I was not a popular girl when I was younger, and I've always been pretty eccentric. I'm the youngest of four girls, but there's quite a bit of an age gap between me and my sisters, so I had the experience of an only child, where, you know, I dealt a lot with my imagination. I read a lot. I started reading at three. And so by the time I was five, you know, I was seriously reading. And so I really lived in this world of imagination. So I had this strange mixture of introversion and extroversion, which continues to this day. And so what has been very surprising to me, around the time I hit my early 40s, I became a very popular person. And I'm very, very popular now. And so I just find that very strange. And so I termed that adult onset swanhood. You know, it's just, I thought I was this ugly duckling, and I'm like, damn it, I'm a swan. And so thinking about how, you know, there's some women who, they just, can't you remember in school, there were just some girls, they just knew they had it going on. I think of them as congenital swans. You know what I mean? They're just born knowing, but it was adult onset for me. I had to grow into my swanhood, and I think that there's a swan in every woman, and I think we're all swans. It's just some of us realize it and some of us don't. That's how I
think. Wow. Yeah, I love that that there is a swan in every woman. That's wonderful. But Rhonda, with everything that's packed into this book, what does it mean to you? What does this book mean to you?
Well, it kind of goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning and the whole concept of perfectionism. It's walking away from perfectionism and just taking action. Just taking action. And I've done that, you know, and the book actually talks about me doing that in certain ways. You know, I talk about my trip to Spain, which was, you know, typically a trip like that, I would plan and save and do. And I was going through, actually it was a breakup, separate from the divorce, but I was going through this breakup, and I was like, what could I do to blow my own mind? Because Christmas is coming up and I'm getting sad. And this was early November. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll go to Europe. And then I thought, I can't go to Europe. It's November. When would I go? How can I, you know? And I thought, look, when your car broke down, you found that money. Find the money to spend. And that's what I did. I ended up spending $276 for 14 days of lodging. Who does that?
Wow.
And I'm kind of, you know, snotty about things. I like comfort. And I was able to, I was just able to figure it out. I used airline miles. I used hotel miles. Actually, it was mostly airline miles. I did Airbnb. I planned that trip and planned and ended up having this wonderful time. So you said to me, what does this book mean to me in writing in this way? It's that same kind of thing. It's the moving out of perfection to just move, to just do, to just create. Because here's the thing. If it doesn't work out, start all over again. It doesn't matter. You see what I'm saying? So yep. I'm looking at the book, the other book that I'm working on. I'm still working on it. This book came out. I'm still working on the other book. And, you know, me, I have a few other creative projects going on. I have music projects going on. I have lots of things going on. And it's okay. It doesn't always have to be perfect. I think sometimes we get so bogged down in our perfection that we don't move and we don't do. And we plan. At least this is who I've been. Plan, and never take action. Because we're afraid of we're afraid of ridicule, we're afraid of judgment. Now, I'm not saying that we should do things in a shoddy manner. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is just have enough faith and have enough faith in what we already possess to move.
Okay. Great. Yes. I hear you. Just move and do something. Do it. Don't worry about being perfect. Don't worry about being perfect. So, the book is, there's a lot of really personal musings in there. I mean, just personal musings, like bone deep, past the skin kind of personal. So, how does that feel, bearing your soul in this way? I know as poets we bear our soul anyway, but this is a different kind of bearing. Do you think?
Not really. My personality is open in that way. Bear my soul comes pretty easily for me. But I will say that it's something that there was a time in my life that I didn't like that about myself. I didn't like the fact. I didn't like that I'm so eccentric. I didn't like that I'm so open. And so there are people who now say things like, "Oh wow, you're so eccentric now. You're so no." I've always been that way. But I felt a need to hide it, and I felt a need to suppress it. And so if there's any difference now, I just don't suppress who I naturally am. This is my natural personality, and I just don't suppress it anymore.
Okay. I see. That's growth there. That's good.
I'm getting grown.
You are getting grown.
I told you about that birthday. That birthday I just had.
Right. We get growner and growner every year. So, Let's hear something else from the book, Rhonda, and it's your choice this time.
Well, I talked about Spain, and so why don't I go to a comfortable place? And there are a couple of poems in here, and there is one I really like that talks about Spain, and I'm moving to it here because the page is not coming up. Here it is. It's called Coffee Shop. I like coffee shops. At home, there are always cute hipster boys there with tight jeans and scruffy beards. They mix nicely with espresso and croissant. Endless tiny cups of café con leche in Spain with pane con tomate for desayuno before la comida on Calle Gran Vía. Hombre de pelo rosado told me he liked his coffee muy caliente. I think he was talking about me.
Nice. And I remember that trip you took because it was wonderful that you were you know, posting online, you created a book, I mean, you created a Facebook group for it, and a lot of us jumped on,
yes,
and said, yeah, girl, we want to go with you virtually. And so it was great to go on that journey with you, and it's even greater, I'll say, to read the passages that you have about it in the book, because there's some very nice passages that you have, you know, in the book. You go day by day. Those are like the journal entries that are very, very nice. So where are you appearing anytime soon, doing any readings from the book, doing any readings from not in the book, but just, you know, performing as Rhonda?
Yeah. My next performance as a poet will be on April 21st. I am actually going to be at Mary Grove College for Take Back the Night. And one of the causes that's near and dear to my heart is ending rape culture, doing work toward ending rape culture. And so this particular event that's put on by Sasha Center is, the subtitle of it is Healing is Possible. And so there will be poets there. There will be hip-hop artists there. And there will also be women there who are telling their stories. And so the whole purpose in telling the stories is to bring that, to evoke that healing in each other. So I'll be performing there on April 21st. I actually have a new venture as a DJ.
All right.
That's my other persona, a DJ called Rhonda. And I have a gig on May 4th at Urban Organics Juju event. So I'm doing that as well. I know that's been really fun. I mean, actually, eventually the poetry and the DJing are coming together. I typically will read. Right now, it's just my little Facebook Live performances, and I only do those on my DJ page. And I actually read poetry before the DJing, and eventually the two will come together. But I just need more skills first before I can do that.
Okay. Very good. Well, Rhonda, unfortunately, we have come to the end of our conversation, but I have so enjoyed it. We don't get to see each other in person often.
I know I have not seen you in person in so long.
Yeah, I haven't been out much. I'm starting to get back out a little bit more, but we'll have to run into each other at some point. But I am so glad you were on the air with me today. I had such a good time talking with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. You have a good rest of your night.
All right, thank you. Oh, can we tell people how to get the book?
Yes. Please do. I missed that point. Yep. How can
Musings of an Adult Onset Swan is an ebook, so you can get it at rhondawelsh.com. That's RhondaWelsh.com, and it's available there.
Okay, very good. I'm sorry I missed that point. I had it in my notes, and I jumped right over.
Okay.
But thank you for reading my mind.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. You're welcome. See you on Facebook.
See you there. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And that is it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you again to Rhonda Welsh for being on the show today. Check her out at her website, rhondawelsh.com. Find out where she's going to be and buy her books. And if you're able, go see her perform next Friday, the 21st, at 6 p.m. at Take Back the Night, Healing is Possible at Mary Grove College in Detroit. And remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at MotownWriters.com. And you can find us on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on BlogTalkRadio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff with my guest, Marcus Weldon. And I do have to mention that if you want to be on the air with me reading a poem that you have put on, published on Facebook or on other social media, inbox me on Facebook and let me know. Inbox me at Andrea Daniel, because I'm having on the 26th of this month a literal open mic session on the air for people to jump in and jump off, but reading their poems for National Poetry Month. That's the way I'm going to close out the month. So yeah, look me up on Facebook. Let me know. Inbox me. And I want to thank you for being on the air with me by listening in. I am Andrea Daniel, and I want you to have you a good rest of your day and live a good story. And if you are so inclined, write about it. Good night.